Welcome to the deep dive. If you've ever had that perfect shave, only to have it turn into a week of itchy, painful regret, then you know exactly what we're targeting in our deep dive today. We are talking about the dreaded shaving bump.
Mm-hmm.
We're taking a really comprehensive guide, the kind of thing you'd find on a dermatologist's shelf, and we're turning it into immediate, actionable knowledge for you. Our whole mission here is to get past those temporary fixes, you know, the old myths,
right,
and give you a rock-solid, irritation-free strategy. We'll dissect why these bumps form, what the difference is between a simple nick and a true ingrown hair, and yes, we are overhauling your entire routine. Okay, let's unpack this source material.
And it's so important we treat this seriously from the start. Shaving bumps, or what doctors actually call pseudofolliculitis Barbie.
That's a mouthful.
It is. But they're way more than just a cosmetic issue. They cause real discomfort. And our sources are clear that if you ignore them or, you know, manage them improperly, they can lead to some pretty long-term problems.
Like infections or even skin discoloration.
Exactly. So we're talking about real skin health here.
So the core premise we've really pulled from all this research is that lasting relief is... it's totally achievable, but it takes a commitment.
It does. It comes down to three things. Really meticulous technique, using the right products consistently, and then being open to some long-term solutions if you need them.
We know you're looking for that shortcut to smooth skin.
And the shortcut, funnily enough, is just consistency. We're going to detail exactly how to do that without turning your morning into some 45-minute science experiment.
All right, let's start at the very beginning. Let's define the enemy. What even is a razor bump?
So the clinical definition is pretty simple. It's an ingrown hair that develops specifically after shaving or some other kind of hair removal.
Okay, but the mechanism behind it is what's really fascinating.
It is. It's like this tiny battle happening right under your skin. When you cut a hair, especially a coarse or curly one, it gets cut too short. The sharpened end then retreats a little bit, and it curls back into the skin instead of growing out straight.
And the body sees that as... what, an invader?
Precisely. It treats it like a splinter, like a foreign object. And that triggers an inflammatory response. That's your raised red bump right there.
That splinter analogy is so helpful. But this is where the guide draws a really critical line. Because a razor bump and a classic ingrown hair, they're not exactly the same thing.
No, and that distinction is so key. A true ingrown hair is when the hair just grows sideways into the skin. Maybe a pore was blocked and it just couldn't find its way out.
Yeah.
But razor bumps, that pseudofolliculitis Barbie, are specifically caused by the hair curling back into the skin after being cut. That curling back is the defining feature of what we're trying to prevent.
Got it. So if the mechanism is this hair curling back, who is most susceptible to this? Is it genetic?
It absolutely comes down to hair type. The research is very clear that people with naturally coarse or really curly hair are just far more likely to get this.
It's the geometry of the hair itself.
It is. It's just predisposed to curving back after it's cut. That's why the beard area is such a problem zone. Those hairs tend to grow out at a lower angle, which just makes that curl back even easier.
And the research is pretty specific about demographics here, isn't it?
It is. Studies show that males of African descent are generally more susceptible, and it's attributed directly to the prevalence of those coarse, curly hair types. It's not a random thing. It's a biological factor we have to consider for prevention.
That makes the why so much clearer. Now, let's talk about the symptoms. It's not just about what you see.
No, not at all. Visually, you've got those raised red areas. Sometimes they even look like little pimples. They can be painful. They itch.
Ugh. The itching.
The itching is terrible. But what's really fascinating is that the sources acknowledge the psychological impact. Dealing with chronic, visible irritation on your face or neck, it can be genuinely demoralizing.
It becomes a cycle.
Right.
You don't want to shave because it's irritated, but then you have to, and it just comes right back.
Exactly. And understanding that frustration is key to motivating the kind of sustained change we're about to talk about.
It's a confidence drain. So we know who's prone, we know what it looks like. Let's pivot to what we do wrong, the technique failures that actually trigger this whole response.
Well, the good news is that the trigger is often a set of mistakes that are very correctable. The research points to about 6 common failures.
Let me guess. Shaving too close.
That's number one. Shaving too closely, using a dull blade, pressing too hard.
Shaving against the grain.
Shaving against the grain, not using enough lubrication, and just rushing.
I think we're all guilty of at least a few of those when we're in a hurry. So how do those sloppy habits directly lead to that splinter effect you mentioned?
Well, when you press too hard, or especially when you shave against the grain, which feels so smooth at first, you're actually lifting the hair up a bit before you cut it.
Oh, let me see.
So that cut is now happening below the level of the skin. When the hair retreats, you've left this sharp angled tip buried right under the surface, just waiting to pierce the follicle wall.
We're basically weaponizing our own hair against our skin.
That's a perfect way to describe it.
Okay, and let's quickly clear up the other common confusion. Razor bumps versus razor burns.
This is critical. Razor burns are immediate. They're from friction. A dull blade dragging on your skin, you get redness, stinging, tenderness right after you shave.
Instant regret.
Instant regret. Razor bumps are the delayed reaction. They're the physical ingrown hair that pops up hours or even a day later. So immediate pain is a burn, bumps tomorrow. That's a follicle issue.
And is this just a problem for people who use razors?
Not at all. Waxing, plucking, even chemical creams can cause it if they irritate the skin or break the hair in a way that encourages it to grow back improperly. It's all about that regrowth pattern.
Okay, we know the enemy, we know our mistakes. Time for the battle strategy. And this is where it gets really interesting because prevention is less about expensive stuff and more about discipline.
That's it, exactly. The whole prevention plan we've distilled is really three steps: prepare, shave correctly, and soothe.
Let's start with prep. It seems basic, but this is where the guide says most people go wrong.
Preparation is everything. You want to shave when the hair is as soft as possible. So either at the end of a warm shower or after holding a hot, damp washcloth on the area for a few minutes.
So the warm water softens the hair shaft.
It softens the hair, opens the pores. It just makes the whole process clear and less traumatic for your skin.
And the absolute non-negotiable pre-shave step, exfoliation. You say we need to do this 2 to 3 times a week. Why is that so important?
Exfoliation is your insurance policy. You're removing that top layer of dead skin cells that can clog up your pores. By using a gentle scrub or a soft brush, you are literally clearing the runway for the hair to grow out straight.
Clearing the path. I like that. Okay, let's dive into the shaving technique itself. If someone is just plagued by bumps, what's the one rule they have to adopt today?
The primary rule, and it's the hardest habit for people to break, is you have to always shave in the direction of hair growth.
But that doesn't feel as close.
It doesn't. And the guide acknowledges that. Going against the grain gives you the closest shave, but it is the number one cause of razor bumps. You have to prioritize the health of your skin over that baby smooth feeling, at least for a while.
That takes some real discipline. Okay,
Yeah.
what about tools? A sharp blade is obvious, but there's some really specific advice in here for that high susceptibility group.
Absolutely. Everyone needs a sharp, clean razor and a good moisturizing shave cream. But for listeners with that coarse, curly hair we talked about,
Yes.
the source strongly recommends they move away from multi-blade razors completely.
Wait, why? Aren't more blades better?
Not for them. A multi-blade razor is designed to lift the hair with the first blade and then cut it with the next ones. That lift and cut action is what sets the hair up to retract below the skin line.
So it actually makes the problem worse for that hair type.
It maximizes the risk. For that group, a single blade razor or a quality electric razor is much, much better. They cut the hair cleanly, but not as short. They keep the tip of the hair above the skin.
That's a huge takeaway. The goal isn't the closest shave, it's the safest shave.
Exactly. And of course, simple hygiene. Rinse the blade off and store it somewhere dry.
Okay, and then post-shave, what's the perfect cool-down routine?
First, rinse with cool water. That helps close up the pores. Then immediately apply a soothing, non-comedogenic moisturizer or an aftershave made for sensitive skin. You want to avoid anything with a lot of alcohol.
Because that would just dry out and irritate the skin more.
Right. And a great practical tip: avoid tight clothing right after, especially on sensitive areas like the bikini line. Let your skin breathe.
Okay, so we've done everything right. But what if the bumps have already appeared? We need a treatment plan.
We do.
Yeah.
And first aid is simple.
Well.
Stop shaving that area. Let it heal. And the number one rule, never ever pop or scratch the bumps.
Why is that so bad?
You're just begging for a bacterial infection, and you can cause post-inflammatory hyperpigmentation, dark spots that stick around long after the bump is gone.
Okay, so hands off. What are the key treatments?
The first one is a natural classic, aloe vera. It's antibacterial, anti-inflammatory, and a great moisturizer. You just apply the pure gel, leave it on for 30 minutes, rinse and repeat a few times a day. It really calms the redness.
So aloe is for soothing. What about clearing the actual blockage?
For that, you want salicylic acid. It's a chemical exfoliant you find in cleansers and toners. It gets deep into the pores and dissolves the gunk, the dead skin and oil that's trapping the hair. It helps it work its way out naturally.
Soothe, dissolve, and what's the third one?
The simplest of all, a warm compress. Just a clean, warm, damp cloth held on the area for 10 or 15 minutes. It softens the skin and helps draw that ingrown hair to the surface. It provides some really immediate relief.
That makes sense. What's a realistic healing time we can tell people to expect?
It really depends on the severity. Mild bumps, maybe 2 to 3 days once you stop shaving. Moderate bumps could be 4 to 7 days. If it's a really severe case, you know, large and inflamed, you might be looking at 1 to 2 weeks. Patience is key.
And when is it time to stop with the home remedies and just see a doctor?
If the rash lasts for weeks, if it's spreading, or if you see clear signs of infection like pus or significant swelling, that's your signal. A dermatologist can help, especially if you're dealing with persistent scarring.
Now, for those who've tried everything, the perfect technique, the right razor, they exfoliate religiously, and they're still fighting this battle because of their hair type. The guide offers a sort of escape hatch.
It does. It talks about alternative hair removal, specifically intense pulsed light, or IPL.
How does that work?
So instead of just cutting the hair every day, IPL targets and heats the hair follicle itself to inhibit regrowth over time. It leads to long-lasting hair reduction. The idea is simple. If less hair is growing, there's less hair to curl back in and cause a problem.
It's a bigger investment, but it breaks the cycle.
Exactly.
There are some major caveats with IPL. Right. It's not for everyone.
No, it's not. It works best on lighter skin tones with dark, coarse hair. The light needs that contrast to target the melanin in the hair follicle without damaging the surrounding skin.
That's a huge point, since the people most susceptible to bumps often have darker skin.
It is. For people with darker skin tones, there is a higher risk of burns or hyperpigmentation. And for those with very light hair, it's often just ineffective. For anyone who doesn't fit that ideal profile, a professional consultation is an absolute must.
A great reminder that there are other paths for those who are just genetically prone to this. So what does this all mean? We started with this really common, painful problem, and now we have a whole strategy.
The main takeaway is really a shift in your mindset. You have to prioritize skin safety over getting the closest possible shave.
Which means consistency.
Consistency. Shaving with the grain, doing the prep and post-shave care, using sharp tools. That disciplined approach is what manages the risk and stops that hair from curling back in.
And if we connect this all to the bigger picture, we know that coarse curly hair is a major unavoidable genetic factor. And we also know the ultimate long-term solution isn't about daily shaving, but altering the follicle with something like IPL.
Which leaves you with a really powerful question to think about. If your hair is just genetically built to cause you pain every time you cut it, does the ultimate strategy for truly irritation-free skin lie in just fighting that daily maintenance battle over and over again? Or is managing the follicle itself, permanently altering the growth, the only real way to achieve lasting comfort? Is this a daily battle you should keep fighting, or a long-term war you should try to win once and for all? That's something for you to mull over.